denominations are not good. There's schisms in the body. But if they're born again, they're born again. And we need to recognize that there's more. We're not the, how many knows we're not the only good church out there? There's other real churches out there somewhere. I'm looking to find them, but I know that they're out there. I know that they exist, especially in other countries. There's many of them. They're real holy living people. And we need to recognize the entire body of Christ and that Jesus' body was broken so that we can be united as a church family. We're a specific locality right here in Milwaukee County, and all of them throughout the entire United States and around the world, eventually we're all going to come together. And we have one faith in Jesus Christ, and His death, burial, and resurrection is what saved us. It's by His grace. Not one of us believers deserve to go to heaven, but we do have it because Jesus died for our sins. Amen. We need to recognize that. So I'm going to have you just grab a piece. And just hold on it. We'll partake of it together. Go ahead.
I can't take it.
You can't take it? Why not?
She won't pray the prayer.
What's that?
She won't pray the prayer because she don't want to forgive a third person.
Okay. Well, the Bible says we should forgive if we have aught against anybody. It's good to forgive. He says if we don't forgive, then God cannot forgive us. So if we refuse to forgive, there's only one destination to go, and it's not heaven. Here you go. So it's a choice. We can get set free from unforgiveness if we want to. And, you know, none of us deserves to be forgiven. But because Jesus has forgiven us, we respond to His love and we forgive others. It says anybody who hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life in him. Amen. So let's just recognize the body of the Lord. And Lord, we just thank You, Jesus, that Your body was broken for us. And we recognize that other believers throughout the earth, and we thank You that You brought us together by Your broken body. In Jesus' name, we partake of this together. Amen. Okay. Now, Jesus' blood was shed for us. This is where, you know, it says He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. By His stripes we're healed. Isaiah 53 talks about that. But it's Jesus' blood that was shed. It says He made intercession for the transgressors at the end of Isaiah 53. He's the one standing in the gap for us, not only by His shed blood that washed our sins away if we're born again, but for eternity. He's always standing in the gap for us. In fact, the animal sacrifices of the Jews during the millennium and for eternity are going to be reinstituted forever, just solely as a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. So all those animal sacrifices, all those grain offerings, that you're going to see it all forever. You're going to watch them do it. The Levitical priesthood, they're going to be doing it. Not to wash away sins anymore, but to show us how intricate and detailed and how much God had to go through with Jesus to save us. And it's just going to be a reminder because you're going to understand it better there. So Jesus' blood was shed to wash away our sins. And we need to do this. We need to remember that the only reason we're going to heaven is because of Him. Amen. It's because of that cross that He went up on that cross. He went to hell for us. And we need to recognize that we need to forgive people. We need to, He says, to forgive as He had ought against anybody. He said, forgive as Christ forgave you. He wanted to remind you, look, you know, forgive as your Heavenly Father forgave you. He says all stuff like this. It's good to make sure that our hearts are right with our fellow man. He said, if you're up at the altar offering your gift, and there, remember, your brother has something up against you. He said to leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go be reconciled with your brother, then offer your gift. And when He mentioned the Lord's Prayer, He said, forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then at the end of the prayer, again, He says, if you don't forgive your brother your sins, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you your sins. He did the same thing in Mark 11, 23, 24. Move the mountain, He says. Speak to the mountain and move it. Then at the end of it, He says, forgiveness He talked about in verse 25. And many other places. So we need to make sure our hearts are right with people. Because anybody that won't forgive it, He says it's equal to murder. That's not good, right? So we need to get that right if we want to go to heaven. Because, you know, some people have dreams and visions of hellfire, and it does nothing phases people because their hearts get so hard. We just need to get it right now before God in the open, amen? We need to get straightened out. So let's just make sure that, you know, we remember how much, look at how ugly we all were. Amen. We were real ugly and Jesus forgave us. We didn't deserve that. You know, so let's just thank the Lord. Father, we thank You for the blood of Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, Your precious blood that that has cleansed our sins away. And we thank you that because we are loved, we're able to love. And we respond to that. And we just thank you that your blood has washed away the record that was against us and brought us near to God by your blood. In Jesus' name we take of it together. In remembrance of you. So, he just told me to read something, so I'm just going to do what he said. Let me just read this one quick parable to you to get you on your way. You probably got things to do. Listen here, this is in Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, 490 times in a day. In other words, if he had to do it all the time, I mean, every minute of the day. Therefore, and then he gives a parable to describe how God views these things. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. That's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So this is equivalent to someone who gets saved, right? Adam sold the whole humanity into slavery to sin. That's what it represents. It's very similar. Then he says this. So he canceled his debt. Verse 28, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him $100. That's $20. Everyone say 20 bucks. So this guy got forgiven millions of dollars. He owed this other guy 20 bucks. Owed him $20. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Oh, yeah. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I'll pay you back. It's the same thing he said. He fell on his knees, I owe you millions of dollars. Forgive me, I'll pay. In fact, he didn't even ask him to forgive me. He said, I'll pay you back. And he said, you know what? You're a servant, where are you going to get millions of dollars? I'm just going to take pity on you. You're never going to be able to pay me back. So he just took pity on him. So this same guy goes out, grabs his fellow servant that owes him $20 and chokes him. You pay me back what you owe me. It's bad enough to choke him, right? But see, where he takes it a step further. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison till he could pay the debt. Then the other servants saw what had happened. They were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. They called the master, the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. In other words, you asked me to forgive you in the name of Jesus. I forgave you. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be what? What is it? Tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And he'd never be able to pay it back. You can't work it off. If we don't receive it by His grace and operate within the confines of God's laws, which is we have to forgive. Since He forgave us, we have to forgive. If we don't operate in that, that's it. It's torture for eternity. He says, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, He wasn't talking to the sinner here. He was talking to Peter. He's saying, look, Peter, you got to forgive. And you got to get it right. Amen. And forgiveness can be very difficult, especially if people are mean to us or they molest us or they're abusive to us. It can be very difficult to forgive people. I know about forgiveness. I know about forgiveness. I know a lot about forgiveness. I've been in many situations. But you know what? If you just respond to God's love instead of respond to the flesh, there's a light shining on the inside that you can tap into that light. And it'll show you that it's darkness. And if you'll see it for what it is and call that call that darkness darkness instead of saying that this is light, this is okay for me to not forgive. And if you call it darkness and say, God, I forgive that person, even though I don't feel like it, God says you judged right. That's all I expect you to do. Amen. If anybody's struggling with anything, we talked about many things today, and this is, you know, we're trying to get a lot of, we're trying to cover a lot of ground in a shorter period of time, so we're going to be quoting a lot of scriptures. And that's good, amen. We're supposed to preach the word. I mean, this is the best thing in the world to sit under the word. So if anybody's struggling with anything, don't be shy. Just come on up. We're going to pray with you. And hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Sake said about, oh, he wants me to say something here. He says, it's for freedom that I've set you free. So do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. He said, this is a scripture now. He said, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature, obvious sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. He says, so walk close to me. Walk very, very close to me and walk closer as you see the day approaching so that you can stay free. Because it's in my presence and in my word that you find the empowerment that's necessary to walk like me, says the Lord. You must walk like me. You must talk like me. You must act like me. You must be my body and allow me as your head to dictate to you what you should do. So keep on pressing past the flesh. Keep pressing through, says the Lord. For I will help you, and I will be with you, and I will not forsake you, and I will give you my grace. But you must come and ask so that you can receive boldly by my throne of grace to find help and the ability to overcome sin in the time of need, says the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, I'm your ever-present help in time of need, in time of trouble, so come to me. Whenever you struggle, come to me. Find what you need, it's in me. It's in me, it's in me, it's in me. So press in to me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.